Today is Tuesday, yeah? 18 May 2021. So we will be continuing with this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teaching from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 238. We will continue from there afterwards. Relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then we can start our half an hour of formal awareness-based meditation, view of the light, so that you all can develop the training of the mind to be aware. So just relax body and mind completely, then silence everything. Don't think, don't try to know, don't do anything. Just relax. Be at ease and allow the mind to be, then silence everything. Just maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then, for those who already know how to meditate, you just let the awareness run by itself. Then, maintain the awareness until the awareness becomes very stable. So the main intent is to train our mind to be silent, to be aware, so that it is able to realize its true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, so that you can use it to meditate, to be aware of what is going on within our form and mind. Okay, I will set the alarm now for half an hour. Then you can develop the training of the mind to be aware. So this is a awareness-based meditation. So half an hour of awareness-based meditation means train your mind to be aware. Then for those who are already trained, means your spiritual faculty is already there, then you can move on from there. When the awareness nature is already developed and stable, you just let it be. Then whatever you can detect, if you are having an object of meditation, just stay with the object of meditation until this object of meditation becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still. If it's anapanasati, means until that breathing becomes very subtle, like hardly any more breathing. What you need is to maintain awareness. That's it. Then for those who have the ability to do the lying down meditation, means your awareness is really quite stable, then you can stay at the heart area. Then whatever that your awareness pick up, just allow it to be aware, finish. Aware, finish. So you patiently develop this ability to be aware until the mind becomes very quiet, very still, until the movement like become very little or no more. Means no more thinking, no more sankhara activity. Means that mundane mind has slowed down and returned to its original state of tranquility and stillness. So you're supposed to realize that silent mind, that true mind. The other way is to anchor that awareness to whatever vibration that is most prominent and you can detect. Just stay there. You can detect your heartbeat. It's also very good. Just stay there. It's the awareness and the heartbeat move as one. So now your new object of meditation is that heartbeat, or whatever vibration within your body, just aware, stay there. Then let it become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, and more subtle until the silent mind arrives. Then from there, stabilize the awareness nature, then you will understand a lot of things on your own after that. Because from the awareness nature, everything arises. the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the aggregates of mind, they will arise from there. Because we have a physical body with all the senses, the five physical senses and the brain. So this sixth sense basis, upon contact with consciousness, can trigger off a lot of things. You can find out during the meditation. Then you will start to understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And what is this mundane mind all about? How it conditions you to do things, to develop habitual tendency, to become heedless when you don't understand, when you don't have the right view or right understanding, when you fail to really penetrate the universal characteristics of all phenomena. So all this understanding will surface once you are able to silence your mind to just aware, aware of what is going on within the form of mind, aware of the reality, the truth. So this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, will enable you to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena and to awaken through developing all the understanding or wisdom. So this is the real ultimate meditation. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, you should maintain this trained state of mind, means the awareness. Stabilize it and move it into your daily life until you are able to be mindful and aware in the midst of life, in the midst of activity. Means you can maintain this awareness, like when you are doing it in the form of meditation while living life. That is the daily mindfulness, or what we call sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things, of all activity, all movement within the present moment. Okay, so I will let you meditate on your own. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to use them to live life, to develop daily mindfulness, to be mindful in the midst of life. So if your training during formal meditation has been developed well, very stable and very consistent, then when you are going about living your life throughout the day, maintain these mind states, develop mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. Just be aware, walking, aware, standing, aware, sitting, aware, lying down, aware, whatever activity you do, maintain awareness. Initially, it's body and mind move as one. Then when your mind enters sati, daily mindfulness will take off. Your daily mindfulness, they can only arise when your mindfulness has stabilized. When your mind has entered sati, means you are able to see specific phenomenal awareness. Your awareness is everywhere. Whatever you do, the awareness is there. And most of the time, you are just aware, little or no thinking. You can perceive, you can become conscious, aware. Then after that, you move. Because whatever understanding you already have will allow you to live life, will allow you to attend to situation. So this way of training is very important, because you cannot be mindful or heedful in the midst of life, then the Buddha said, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance to develop the spiritual practice or spiritual teachings understanding. That's why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness in the midst of life. That's why the Buddha said heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So this statement is very important. When you understand this statement, you understand the importance of training your mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, and use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. The meditation is taught by the Buddha leading to heedfulness, apamada. Okay, we will turn to page 238 of this book. The Essence of Infinite Meaning. Teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So I'll read on the next stanza. I think we are at the first paragraph. Keep compassion as your guide and keep sentient beings in your thought. These are very important development if you want to walk the Bodhisattva way. You must keep compassion in your heart to guide you. Then you must hold on to sentient beings in your thought process, because as Bodhisattva, we come for the living beings. We come for sentient beings. Out of love and compassion for living beings and sentient beings, we vow to taking the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva to take them all across. So this fundamental vow, the first basic vow of the Bodhisattva, is very important. This nature of mind vow to bring across or guide and train and liberate all sentient beings throughout the entire universe until they realize enlightenment. So this basic vow can only arise out of love and compassion for living beings. That's why we must have living beings in our mind. We come for the living being out of love and compassion for them. Then we determine to walk this path, the Bodhisattva way, to train ourselves so that we can develop the understanding, the perfection of wisdom and all the 10 parameters to have the embodiment of a Sammasambuddha so that we can really take them all across. Fulfill our vows so that we can help living beings to develop understanding leading to awakening. So keep compassion in your heart so that it can be a guiding force and principle behind our training. Then keep sentient beings in our thought process. When such an aspiration is formed, the seed of Buddhahood are unending. Means you have planted the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind. Then this will take you along. That's why the seed of Buddhahood, that Bodhi mind, Bodhicitta, that you have planted out of love and compassion, with faith, sincerity, and perseverance, it will take you along. And that is how the Bodhisattva cultivate. The compassion of Bodhisattva is infinite and boundless. The capabilities of sentient beings are infinite and boundless too. The working of a compassionate heart are endless and infinite. We look at the notes. The note 34. According to Venerable Master Ziyi's, a brief summary of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Bodhisattva develop Bohi Chitta. Bohi is enlightenment, Chitta is mind, the enlightened mind. By keeping compassion as their guide and keep sentient beings in their thoughts, when such an aspiration is formed, the seed of Buddhahood become endless. The compassion of Bodhisattva is infinite and boundless because the realm of sentient beings are also infinite and boundless, without end. The void is without end, so the number of sentient beings is also without end. Because the number of sentient beings is without end, the compassion of Bodhisattva is also without end. So this is the footnote. Eh? You go back to the commentaries. Once we have developed a Bohi mind or Bohi Chitta, so this word Bohi Chitta is very common in the Tibetan tradition. Eh? They use this word very often, Bohi Chitta. Both are Pali words. Bohi means enlightenment. That's why the Bohi tree is the tree of enlightenment. Then Chitta is mind. So Bohi Chitta is the enlightened mind, the Bohi mind. Then once we have developed Bohi Chitta, how do we remain steadfast in our resolve and avoid turning back so that we can persevere all the way, irrespective of how long it takes? It may be aeons and aeons and aeons. So to do that, according to the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, he said, we must keep compassion as our guide and keep sentient beings always dearly in our thoughts, means we come for the living beings. If we only learn the Buddha's teaching for our own sake and only cultivate in isolation, after some time, it will inevitably become boring. However, if we go among people, and this is the reason why you have to take the Bodhisattva way, because if you follow the traditional Theravada tradition, they are more interested in self-enlightenment. There's nothing wrong with that, because they believe unless they themselves awaken, they cannot help people. And also they don't have the understanding of having the vow to help people, but they don't see the necessity. To them is they just want to develop the training, perfect themselves until they become enlightened and liberate their mind and free. Then no more problem, no more situation, because they have end the birth and death of the segmented form and mind or body and mind. Means they will not take rebirth anymore, the human birth or the rebirth of a living beings. They will not. They will end. Once you realize arahantship, no more avijja. At the moment of death or parinibbana, the mind will just cease, because the last thought moment, there is no more ignorant avijja. So it cannot condition rebirth. It cannot condition rebirth consciousness. You need avijja to condition rebirth consciousness. But there is a type of beings who have the love and compassion and wisdom. They can come back and take rebirth without avijja. So these are bodhisattvas or great beings who have the understanding they develop it through out of love and compassion. So this love and compassion is a pure mind. It doesn't have avijja. But they know the pure mind without any condition behind, you cannot develop the ability to come back to take rebirth because you don't have avijja. So what do? They make this vow, the four basic vow, especially the first vow, out of love and compassion for the living beings. They come for the living beings and they vow to take them across and liberate all sentient beings from samsara. So that vow created the condition so that pure mind, love and compassion together with this vow can condition the karmic nature to actually arise a form and mind. You can call it rebirth or whatever. But this type of rebirth or birth is without avijja. That's why enlightened beings, bodhisattva, sattva is being, bodhi is enlightened. So a bodhisattva is actually an enlightened being that walk the path of Dhamma to perfect themselves to become Sammasambuddha. That's why it's called a bodhisattva. So with the bodhicitta, the bodhisattva actually took the vow and perfect themselves to become Sammasambuddha. That's how they come. That's how they can develop that cultivation. So once they do that, they will have a very, very different condition that allow them to perfect themselves and develop vast understanding, which is way, way beyond the sainthood way or the arahantship way. That's why this training is very different. So I read on, then you will understand. That's the reason why this Sutra of Infinite Meaning say, if you only learn the Buddha Dhamma or the Buddha's teaching for your own sake and only practice or cultivate in isolation, after some time, it will inevitably become boring. This one is the initial stage. Otherwise, a lot of people will comment and argue. Because there are some of these monks or Dhamma practitioner who are very serious, even the Theravada tradition or whatever. And when they cultivate very seriously, of course, initially when they cannot find a way, it will make them very unhappy, sometimes even frustrated, having doubt and all those things, and restlessness of mind will arise. So all these things can happen. But for those who have develop the understanding of the Dhamma and found the way, they will not be boring. In fact, they will become more and more diligent. The faith will drive them. The virya will drive them. Then they will cultivate accordingly and develop the wisdom to awaken. Yeah. But this type of being, when they awaken, their wisdom is limited in the sense that it's enough for them to free their mind, to liberate their mind from samsara, means no more rebirth consciousness at the moment of death, the last consciousness, because no more ignorant, no more avijja. But then their understanding is limited to only Dhamma. Means, like the Buddha said, the handful of leaves, the four number 12 and its tree turning to awaken. So that is what they did. But the rest of the leaf in the forest, the much more vast understanding, they cannot have the condition to develop them. Because after that, they don't come back anymore. There is no more way to cultivate. Everything just can insist. That's why it's a different cultivation. That if you take the bodhisattva way, you have the understanding, this is what happened. We read on, then you will understand. So according to the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, it said, however, if we go among people, we can make use of our surrounding, our environment, to help us perceive all kinds of principles that exist within existence, within life, within people, within all things and matters. Then naturally, our spiritual aspiration and cultivation will become different. It will become much more powerful, much more meaningful, and it will strengthen. So the author said, I often share the phrase, witnessing suffering to recognize blessing. This is very true. If you can witness suffering, then wisdom will arise. Because according to the Buddha, the second turning of the first noble truth, this noble truth or dukkha, which is suffering, is to be understood. So you can witness suffering, you can understand suffering. Then from there, you can liberate to develop wholesomeness, which is to recognize blessings. So witnessing suffering to recognize blessing is very important. Thus, to cultivate compassion, we must first observe the appearances and affliction of all sentient beings in the world. Only then can we open the door to our hearts, means to our nature. That's why the sainthood way, leading all the way to arahantship, they didn't reach the gateway to their nature, to realize their true mind, their true nature within. They only have a glimpse of Nibbana. Then later on, when they finish Anagami and Anarahanship, they are able to go into that cessation for a longer period. But they never know that there is a gateway to another nature within. And that nature is our oneness nature, our true nature, or the Buddha nature. And this one can still be perfected and developed and evolve. So that is the difference between the sainthood way leading to arahantship and the bodhisattva way. That's why the bodhisattva way is very extensive. So this is very useful and very important. That's why you can only find this teaching in this special Mahayana Sutta. We call it the Sutra of Infinite Meaning or Innumerous Meaning. So this one is in Mandarin Mahayana, they call it the Wu Liang Yi Jing. Okay, we read on. We also are sentient beings, and we also have afflictions. But by observing the afflictions of others, it can give rise to bodhi, and bodhi is enlightenment, wisdom. If you want to grow a tree or a crop, in addition to soil, water, sunlight, air, and other conditions, we also need to provide fertilizer and adequate nutriment or nutrition for them to grow well. In the same way, for the seed of compassion to germinate and grow, along with the right karmic condition, we also need to use the afflictions of all sentient beings as a fertilizer. This will nourish and strengthen our heart of compassion. So this is very true, because when my nature come out to share, my nature not only has the full understanding of the Dhamma, but it has also witnessed a lot of human condition, human suffering. And after witnessing so many, you understand that each and every living being is different. Their karmic path is different. Their conditions are different. And because of that, everyone is different. So when you understand the various conditions of all living beings and sentient beings, then you will know how to attend to them. You know how to actually advise them. And when you are able to take them across and let them develop the understanding to come out of their suffering and misery, then follow the path of Dhamma to cultivate and develop the progress so that they will never be deluded and heedless again and fall back to the heedless way of living life. That's why you will have the understanding of all their suffering, their affliction, their condition. And because of that, when I try to help people, I will have a lot of example to give them faith and understanding. I will be able to tell them your condition is actually not that serious as compared to some others who have came and seen me, or I have came to know about their condition. Then I can give them exactly what are their condition and how I advise them and enable them to come out of it. That's why understanding other people's affliction and condition can make you different. Then you can really help people. You can really share the Dhamma. Otherwise, you only have enough understanding to free yourself, to liberate yourself, to allow yourself not to be entangled. But because you fail to understand the different condition behind each and every living being, that's why the normal sainthood way, or even the Arahant, they are very limited in their ability to help people. Maybe they can share with you their understanding of the Dhamma, that's it. But apart from that, they are very limited in their ability to assess why people are like that, why their condition in this life is like that, and how from their condition in this life, you can develop the understanding of the likely condition that they are in the past. Because like the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So these are very important understanding. When you understand this statement of the Buddha, which is so profound, and this is one of the five daily contemplation that the Buddha advised each and every cultivator, including all the monks, to constantly reflect, the fifth contemplation. So when you develop the contemplative wisdom and understanding, then this one becomes a part of your understanding, very stable. Then when you understand that we are all, not only specifics, living beings or sentient beings, when we understand that all living beings and sentient beings, including the non-humans, the animals, or whatever living beings, they are all born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma, and they are what they are because of their karma. So you will know very clearly how they get themselves entangled and how they develop this type of affliction, suffering, misery, and situation or problem. It could be a disease. It could be separation from loved one. It could be career problem, relationship problem, or whatever First Noble Truth Reality's problem. It has something to do with our karma. That's why the advice of the Buddha comes from this understanding. If our life depends entirely on karma, because we are born of it, heir to it, condition supported by it. And we are what we are because of our karma. So in order to take care of our life, we really need to take care of karma. Otherwise, we will have problem, big problem. Well, we are born of it, air to it, condition supported by it, and we are what we are because of that karma or karmic nature. So if you don't develop understanding to take care of karma by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, your karmic nature will fall, and you will have great suffering, affliction, and problem. That's how living beings end up that way. So when they relate to me their specific problem and condition, their life story, my nature will know very likely in the past what has happened. Otherwise, their condition will not be that way. Then my nature will know how to advise them to do the appropriate thing through understanding the actual Dhamma to actually recover from their condition and to break free. Of course, the usual three things that I used to share with Kayamitas will be involved. First, if it's karmic, we have to accept that reality and do what we have to do. If it's karmic, the first thing you have to do is to break the karmic obstruction. You have to ask for forgiveness. You have to develop the repentance. Then after that, vow not to repeat on this by following the advice of the Buddha. When you follow the advice of the Buddha, that is the beginning of cultivation. That is the beginning of transformation. That is the beginning of evolution of life to actually avoid all evil, do good, and develop wisdom through purifying our mind. So when you do that, you accumulate merits, you accumulate blessing, you accumulate a lot of wholesomeness. Then the last step is, of course, to invoke power of merits, power of wholesomeness, for causes and conditions for you to recover to good mind state so that you can gain back your life, so that you can move on with your life to develop the cultivation to be a blessing to all sentient beings. So this is what bodhisattvas do, because without the understanding, you can never advise people this way. Yeah, these are based on nature's law, nature's truth, based on understanding cultivated by bodhisattvas and great beings. In fact, there is no other way apart from this tree. So if you do this, then of course you will be able to overcome all of your karmic problems or karmic situation, and you will gain back your life, you will transform. This will nourish and strengthen our heart of compassion. So this is very important. If we look for the causes that give rise to much of today's suffering, we find that it is sentient beings' affliction that brought about this karmic effect of suffering. Yeah, very true. Because it's all related to karma. So sentient beings' affliction that came about through karmic friction leads to living beings' affliction or suffering. This suffering also gives us the opportunity to settle our mind as we observe our surrounding. The Buddhas must attain enlightenment among sentient beings. The bodhisattva arise in response to suffering. Therefore, we should go among people with a heart of gratitude, great compassion, constantly developing our compassion and never abandon the multitude of suffering and tormented sentient being. Means you must have the ability to help these sentient beings who are afflicted, who are going through suffering, misery, or even sometimes they call it like going through hell condition. So unless you go the bodhisattva way, you will not be able to handle all these cases. You will not be able to actually do this work. That's why the work of a bodhisattva is very different from normal enlightened being that go the sainthood way leading to arahantship. So Buddha must attain enlightenment among sentient beings, which is very true. Because without going through life, without meeting all the different conditions, capacity, and very, very karmic condition behind all sentient beings, they cannot perfect themselves to become Sammasambuddha. So that's the reason why you take the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. You have to cultivate among sentient beings. You have to cultivate within life itself. You have to go through life to develop all the understanding. And because of that, we can also say bodhisattva arise in response to suffering. Now, out of love and compassion for the living being, they come. Therefore, we should go among living beings with a heart of gratitude, constantly developing our compassion and never abandon the multitude of suffering and tormented sentient beings. Means when there is condition to manifest and help and advise, you should do your part. But without condition, please, just let things be, because it's not what you think. So when you cultivate, when you have developed the understanding, all this will become clear to you and you will know what to do. So when such an aspiration is formed, the seed of Buddhahood arises, and this seed of Buddhahood is unending. As long as we aspire to be compassionate and remain unwavering in this resolve, the seed of Buddhahood will always continue to arise. This is the beginning of our spiritual aspiration. So this is the Bodhi mind, the Bodhicitta, means the Bodhi mind that we plant to go this way, to walk the path of bodhisattva-ship. Means this Bodhi mind, you have to develop the understanding and sincerely through great faith and perseverance and endurance, plant it deep into our nature, deep into our heart. So you have to be very committed, very sincere, full of faith and understanding to make this vow. The first resolve is to plant the seed of Bodhi. That is the first stage of bodhisattva. They call it the development, because there are five stages of Bodhi mind development. So the first is to plant the seed of Bodhi sincerely, with faith, with understanding, with deep resolve, deep into our nature, so that this bodhisattva vows, all of the aspiration that we have made following the yellow card that I have given you, they will arise and they will germinate or manifest through the Bodhi mind. The Bodhi mind that is being planted well very stable, through strong understanding and resolve. It will nurture itself light after light whenever you come, even when you choose to come or you have to come, it will nurture. That's why you can take the vow early. You don't have to wait till you have developed all the understanding that only you take the vow. No, you can take the vow anytime while you cultivate. You don't have to wait. Yeah, I realize there are quite a lot of Dharma practitioners who are very worried and very concerned. Do I have that capacity or ability to go this way? It has nothing to do with that. The only question you need to ask yourself is, what have you got to lose by going this way? In fact, everything is towards enhancement of your cultivation, expanding on your cultivation. So when you take it, it's of no difference to me. In fact, the earlier you take, the more beneficial it is. That's why do not hesitate. Do not procrastinate. Do not allow the thought to come in and create doubt in you. Just have faith to develop compassion, to come for the living being out of love and compassion for them. Then determine, aspire, vow strongly. When you do all those, it's all aiding you to develop the cultivation and the perfection and to transform your understanding, your nature. And every life you come, you become beautiful. So this is how you can actually make a big difference to your cultivation. So going the Bodhisattva way can really help cultivator and sentient beings. So this part, hope you all can make a note. Then I read on. The compassion of Bodhisattva is infinite and boundless. The capacity of sentient beings are also infinite and boundless. The working of the compassionate heart are endless and infinite. We are faced with the infinite and boundless capabilities and complexities of sentient beings. How long must Bodhisattva continue to save and transform them? As long as our compassionate heart is at work, it will continuously give us the power and strength to respond to the infinite capacities and capabilities of sentient beings. Whatever sentient beings' capabilities or capacities are, Bodhisattva will offer suitable Dhamma accordingly. As long as the seeds of Buddhahood continue to spread and flourish, the Buddha Dharma will continue to be transmitted throughout the world endlessly and infinitely. So this is very beautiful. Bodhisattva abide in true appearances. The loving kindness and compassion they evoke are clearly true. This is very, very clear. It's very easy to see them. When you meet the true cultivators of the way, the real bodhisattvas and all these great beings, this is what they do. They have great compassion. Then they really cultivate. And when they invoke them, you can see it within their own nature. And everything they do is manifested. So I will read through it again. Okay. The first part is Bodhisattva abide in true appearances. So this one is allow them to have the ability to actually abide within existence, life itself. So true appearances can be any appearances that is within the phenomenal world. It can be within sentient beings, within the environment, within nature itself, or within life itself. So all these are part and parcel of true appearances. Then their loving kindness and compassion are clearly manifested when they do this work. Then they can relieve suffering wherever sentient beings are. This is very true. The true Bodhisattva has this ability, no matter what suffering you have, they can help you understand and help you to develop the understanding to actually free from it. Which is as described, they can relieve suffering wherever sentient beings are. Means no matter who, no matter where, no matter what happened, they have this ability to release suffering. So this is the ability of true Bodhisattvas, the great beings, the cultivator of the way, they have this ability. Having relieved their suffering, they don't stop there. Bodhisattva then expounded the Dhamma for them, enabling sentient beings to experience joy, happiness. Then you should add in blessings and wholesomeness. Yeah. So this teaching is safeguarded by all Buddhas of the three period of time. That's why it's a very unique teaching. This Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, is very beautiful and very meaningful. Yeah? So I will read on with the sharing. Yeah? We are fortunate to have been born in the human realm. So we should learn how to abide in true appearance. We must stay free from the influence of external conditions and avoid giving rise to desire and affliction. So this one are the advice for cultivator. Eh? If you are a normal living being who is a non-cultivator or you don't have the Buddha Dhamma, then you can't do all this. That's why he said, as Bodhisattva, we are fortunate to have been born in the human realm. So having been born as a human, we should learn how to abide in true appearance. Means everything that you encounter within the phenomenal world, you have to abide in it. You have to develop the understanding of it, to be at peace with it, so that you can be among sentient beings, among living beings, among existence. Then the other thing you must develop is you must stay free from the influence of external condition. That's like whatever that stir people's mind or whatever condition that is afflicting sentient beings, nations and the environment, like our pandemic and other things. You have to stay above them or stay free from the influence of all these external conditions and avoid giving rise to desire and affliction. Desire is your craving, what you want, which is not in accordance with the reality. Well, what you want is a craving, is a desire. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why when you cannot get what you want, it develops affliction, suffering. You become afflicted. You become miserable, you become unhappy. So avoid giving rise to desire or craving and affliction is very important, otherwise you cannot do this work. Then to return to the pure and tranquil intrinsic nature that we all possess, we must vow to practice the Bodhisattva way at all times. See, again, you have to vow to cultivate the Bodhisattva way at all time, in all places, with all people, So this is very useful and very important. So to return to the pure and tranquil intrinsic nature, which is your true nature, your true mind that we all possess, you have to vow to take the bodhisattva path at all times. That's why otherwise you cannot realize that true mind, that true nature, the gateway to your nature. To do that, you must take the bodhisattva vow, otherwise your training is incomplete. That's why the bodhisattva vow, the bodhisattva way is very important. So to realize that true mind, that true nature, that silent mind is the beginning of real meditation. That's why Hui Ning's first hallmark of cultivation is no thought, wu nian. Wu nian 就是真心. When you are without the sankhara activity or thinking or mundane activity, when your mind is completely silent, without thought, that is your true mind. That is your silent mind. That is your meditative mind. So you need to realize that. That's why all meditation start off with relaxation of form and mind. Then maintain awareness to realize this pure, tranquil, intrinsic nature. Means it was there all the time. You are not able to realize it because you are lost in thought. You have been heedless for too long. You think a lot. Mental activity cloud your nature. That's why your nature cannot shine forth. And living being doesn't know that they have this pure, tranquil, intrinsic nature within them. That's why only the real cultivator of the way, especially bodhisattvas and great beings, they know there is a nature within that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And it's that nature that can meditate and awaken. Yeah, that is the nature that is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's the unconditioned, it's just aware, the awareness nature. And that nature can see things as they are, can awaken. Okay, we read on. When we have a heart of compassion, we seek to benefit all beings. This is very true. With all our actions. Means we don't only talk only. Like they call natto. No action, talk only. Or MIA, missing in action. So all these are not the real representation of a true cultivator of the way or the bodhisattva. The bodhisattva never do that. Eh? So bodhisattva has a heart of compassion that seeks to benefit all sentient beings with all of their loving kindness, compassion, and action. Okay, we better stop here. Okay, so we will open up for meditation reporting. Ah, yes.
Me, Brother Jill.
Yeah, Sato, yeah, Sister Rita.
Happy to get to know all of you.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Yeah. Do you have any question or you want to report your meditation or you have some experience that you want to share with the Kayanika? You can. Any of it.
Okay. I must sort of that. I would like to share something.
Good.
I've taken some of the sessions of the mindfulness class.
And I
could not sort of like connect to the application of meditation.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. In fact, you are not the only one. A lot of people cannot understand what is mindfulness do. That's why they cannot apply. They cannot connect to real life applications. So this is very common. Yeah.
Yes. And this mindfulness class is like quite Western based type. When I attended it, I expected it to be a bit Dharma infusion.
Yeah,
but it wasn't
yeah.
so.
Yeah. It's completely different from what people think. Because a lot of people cannot understand what mindfulness is, because the word actually confuses them.
Yes.
That word yes. is the English word. They don't yes. have a proper word to describe that. In fact, the person who coined that word doesn't understand. That's why he didn't get the right word. In fact, there is an English word that is very close. It's awareness,
awareness. Yes.
before the knowing. So when you are just aware or attentive, before your thought moves, that is sati, that is mindfulness. You are already mindful when you are without thought. When you are just aware without thought, or attentive without thought, you are already aware. That's why whatever you do without thought, that is awareness. But the moment there is thought, how can you be aware? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Huh? Lorita, you listen. You are either silent without thought and aware of what is happening within the moment. That is mindfulness. Or you are lost in thought, thinking. Preoccupied with what you are thinking. Verbalizing, chattering. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your problems, your planning. So human beings are so heedless, lost in thought. Because they worry a lot, they plan a lot. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they are never silent and with the moment to live life, to experience life, to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. This is what the Buddhist teaching is all about, the Buddhist meditation is all about, to silence so that you can be with the moment in awareness to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And that is being observant, sensitive, aware. No need to do anything. When you are aware, the beauty of mindfulness is when you are aware or mindful without thought, means there is no word, no concept. You don't hold on to anything, which means there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no insecurity, no sorrow, no lamentation. That's why none of all this. That's why the mind that is aware is tranquil, still, peaceful. But that is our true mind. Without thought, you are peaceful. So now you start to understand.
Huh? Yes, you have really switched on the light bulb.
Yeah, this will really give you a lot of pointers. You go back and listen to all this, you will understand why last time I say people are not really doing it correctly, because they thought mindfulness is a thought. It's a thought process. They think they must arise the thought to note,
yes.
to focus, to concentrate, to do things. But the moment thought is active, how can you be aware? How can you be mindful? That's why thought-based meditation can never lead you to the direct seeing and the awakening and the understanding of the Dhamma, which is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. But the instrument they use limits them. The instrument of thought limits them. If you use thought to meditate, to develop so-called mindfulness, you are actually gullible, because how can that thought realize a Dhamma which is beyond thought? No way, because that instrument limits you. It's just like you try to see something very micro, very small. You need a microscope to help you. So if your microscope is not powerful enough, it's too small, you cannot see. So the instrument is very important. So to really see things as they are, the Buddha said, to really meditate, to really understand, you must silence your mind to observe, to see things as they are, to see the reality, to have the understanding so that you can awaken an insight into phenomena to realize the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So without all this understanding, people end up doing thought-based meditation. That's why they keep on using the thought to meditate. Come out with method, technique, note here, note there, focus, concentrate, then develop jhana, develop all this energy field, thinking that it's meditation. Then they get more and more confused. Okay, you continue, Lorita. Yeah, you brought out a very good condition of the video.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You have the ability to identify all the salient points, and the issues that we have been facing all these years. No wonder we come one big circle.
That's why Pu Ching also came to know about that during the early days. She said she totally confused, blank. She doesn't know what is going on. Well, that time she was very new, 2016, 2017. Then later on when she come to understand, because she really had the faith, sincerely do it, then she was laughing. She realized, no wonder why people cannot do. Yeah, this type of meditation is awareness-based. It's not thought-based. Awareness-based is using the silent mind to meditate. Sati. Like that day, your sharing is very good. You managed to get a lot of very good pointer. To meditate is to have the silent mind in awareness. And don't try to know. All this, you got it right. When you try to know means what? The mundane mind has come in. Who knows? The thought knows. So when thought is active, how can you meditate? You can't. That's why don't try to know. Don't try to reason. Or even what they call analyze anything. Don't even verbalize and question yourself. Is this right? Is this what Brother Theo say? Forget about it. Is this what the Buddha meant? Forget about it, you're just silent. Then develop awareness. Stabilize it. Then the understanding will arise by itself. Your sati will enable you to really see things as they are and understand many, many things that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And when you are silent, completely silent and just aware, you are very sensitive. Well, your senses are all heightened. You are not engaged. You are completely heightened with the awareness to perceive things, that pure perception, to become aware of what is going on. Because you are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with any problem or any thought process or any emotion. So this understanding will enable you to meditate correctly, then you will progress. Like what happened to a lot of Kayamita, including Pu Ching and many other Kayamita too. So today, luckily, you actually brought up a very good condition for this sharing to be repeated. And like you mentioned, all the important understanding and pointer, I am able to summarize them all for you all to see clearly, to develop the clear understanding. So that with this, you no need to like doubt anymore. And whoever wants to like discuss with you or develop understanding, you ask them to listen to this and ask them sincerely, what is your understanding? Can you understand what has been shared? I tell you, they themselves will actually cry and tell themselves, all this while they don't know about this. And they have been doing meditation without understanding, thought-based meditation, all this while. And they don't even understand what sati is, what mindfulness is. Yeah, the English word is not the proper word. Because when there is a mind, it implies a thought, understand? But actually what that person want to mean is mind in fullness. But it doesn't explain full of what? If your mind is full of thought, that is not mindfulness. That is heedless thinking. That is the mundane mind. But when he mean the mind is fully aware, that is mindfulness. Mind in fullness, fully aware, without thought, that is mindfulness. But the person who coined that word doesn't explain, doesn't even know what sati is. That is the reason why until today, the Buddhist tradition, they use that word without much understanding. But at least now, there are some monks or teachers who starts to develop some form of understanding of what sati is. They relate it to awareness already, but they still don't know that it's awareness before the knowing. They just know that it's something to do with awareness, aware, and all those things. Okay, you continue, Loretta. Yeah.
I have no more question. The only thing is that just to clarify on today's sutta.
Yes.
The first phase on keep compassion your guide and keep sentient beings in your thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, at which stage is this sentence, or is that is the what call that the usage of the word is not appropriate or whatever it is? Because if you are a bodhisattva already or so called enlightened being,
yes.
Will you still keep on thinking? You know, when you say keep sentient beings in your thoughts.
Yes.
Could you please clarify this?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. I will explain this to you. Otherwise, you all may not have the understanding. You see, there are two aspects to the Dhamma. One is the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma. The other one is the unconditioned. So when you mention that bodhisattva are enlightened beings, they shouldn't hold on to thought because of attachment, craving, and clinging, and all those things. But you have to understand the reason why they have to do it, because they are bodhisattvas. They understand all this, and they have to come back. So to come back, they also know the hallmark of winning. The second one is no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating, no mark of living beings, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of life existence. Everything is not real, empty, dependent originating, condition arising. Then why do they still hold on to a sentient being, a human being, the word compassion and all those things? Because according to Heart Sutra, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Even the Dhamma also don't exist. The Four Noble Truths also don't exist. But within the conditional, it exists. That's why they need this to come back as a bodhisattva. They need that sentient being out of love for the sentient being, the living being. So this pure love and compassion, which exists within the conditioned world, can give rise to the condition for them to actually come back to rebirth without avijja. That's why out of love and compassion, that is a pure mind. But the vow and their aspiration to do that, to liberate and take across all living beings, that is the one that gives rise to the condition within the existential world through law of karma to condition a rebirth consciousness for them to come. That's why they are born with a pure mind, without ignorance. That's why they need to hold on to that sentient being within their form and mind. When they come, this form and mind, they need to hold on to this, to move. That's why without compassion, without sentient being, their vow cannot take form. Do you understand?
Oh, does that mean to say, is this the part when it's the last part when they still have the residue for them to develop further to the ultimate?
No. The cultivation part is separate, Loretta. You have to understand. This one is to do the work.
Okay. Understand now.
So you need the mundane mind. You need the form and mind.
Mm.
And the form and mind is subject to the condition Dhamma within the conditioned world. That's why they are still sentient beings. They are still Four Noble Truths. They are still suffering, affliction.
Mm.
Old age, sickness, and death, like the Heart Sutra mentioned very clearly. In true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. The Bodhisattva know. So if they hold on to that, they cannot come back. They cannot do this work. That's why the Sutra teaches the Bodhisattva how to do this work. So if you don't have the understanding of both sides, you cannot understand the way of the Bodhisattvas, the perfection to become Sammasambuddha. The end of the day, he know you, he know me. Everything is empty. Then whatever you say is also empty, no meaning. But there is such thing as life, there is such thing as existence, there is such thing as perfection, cultivation, because the two are different reality. One is the unconditioned, the other one is the conditioned. So we need to have wisdom from both dimension, the conditioned and the unconditioned. And when you have both, you can use that understanding to come back and live life. Then life become meaningful. Life become wonderful. Then life take a turn. It has its own beauty. It has its own reality. That everything is, even though unreal, but there is such thing as life. There is joy. There is peace. There is tranquility. There is stillness. Of course, there is also affliction when there is lack of wisdom, without wisdom. But the Bodhisattva, when they come, they have the wisdom connected because they already cultivated before. And through their vow, their Bodhi mind, all this will surface. Like this life, my nature connect back very fast. And I developed the understanding and inherited my past very fast. Then in the year 1989, this nature actually recall back everything. It understand all this because it has inherited from the spiritual nature. That's how all this become possible. That's why my nature can share and give you all this understanding. Otherwise, it's not possible. How can a living being, just one life, come to this existential world, have all this understanding? It's impossible. Even the basic cultivation to be an enlightened being through the sainthood way leading to arahantship is already so difficult. Take them so long. Samsara. What more to become a bodhisattva, to go the bodhisattva way to perfect itself to become Sammasambuddha? That's why the Buddha shared with us that it takes them eons and eons and eons of cultivation. And all this cultivation require very deep understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Without these two understanding, you cannot perfect yourself. You cannot have the wisdom to actually live life, understand life, and do this work to save the limitless sentient being, to take them all across, to perfect your own perfection, to become Sammasambuddha, to realize that perfection of wisdom and virtue. So all this demand understanding and demand a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work, a lot of faith, a lot of perseverance. That's why you must have great compassion, great loving kindness. Without this, you cannot. This work is not for ordinary people. This work is for special beings who really very sincere, who has the understanding. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, Loretta, hopefully with this explanation, you start to develop better understanding of what is being shared in the sutta. The sutta, sometimes you don't understand, it can be very confusing. It's just like the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha's teaching. A lot of people never question this. Because the Buddha teach actually very beautiful Dhamma, and he never contradict himself. But if you don't have the understanding, you will think the Buddha contradict himself. Why? I give you one very clear example. That the Buddha taught us anicchang dukkang anatta. And you know what is anatta? Anatta is non-self, empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then on the other hand, he said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So what is going on? One side there is a I, born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned, supported by my karma, and I am what I am because of it. Then the other side, he said, hey no you, hey no me, empty, anatta. Did he contradict himself? No. Because the Buddha is referring to the form and mind when he talks about you or all sentient beings, all living beings. We are all born our karma. He's referring to the form and mind. He's not referring to that true nature. He's referring to the form and mind. And this form and mind is subject to karma. That's why it is born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are with your karma. But he said, this form and mind, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, is not you. This one is a condition arising phenomenon. That's why it has its universal characteristics of impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling. And because it's impermanent, it is anatta, non-self. There is not a permanent unchanging entity. And you must not be gullible. You must not attach. You must not cling. That's why he said, this five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent, lead to suffering, and empty, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. So when you understand this, then you realize the Buddha never contradict himself. So it's just like this sutta of infinite meaning. When he say, hold on to the thought of sentient being, it doesn't mean that that being doesn't understand that if you hold on with delusion, it is attachment, craving. Then you will be affected, afflicted. So all this the Bodhisattva know, but they use that to manifest the condition for them to come back as Bodhisattva, for them to do this work, to fulfill their vows, their duty. So these are very deep understanding of the cultivation, the way. That's why initially don't try to understand. Because when you try to understand, initially it can create confusion and doubt. Then you think it's contradictory. No. That's why I say don't try to know. Cultivate sincerely. Develop the sati, the mindfulness, the awareness. Then perfect yourself, stabilize that nature, then develop the meditative training to awaken. When you awaken, all this understanding will fall into place and you will understand. Okay, Lorita? Hopefully this helped you.
Yes, thank you, Sadhu.
Very good. You asked very good question. Yeah, Sadhu to you.
Brother, before I nominate this person, I'd like to say something about this person.
No problem.
I want to thank this person for many of her sharing, actually.
Sadhu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. The reason I say that is because although the sharing, I won't say it this way. The reason I say it because in the past, when I listened to all her sharing, I realized that is also my problem.
Yeah,
also my problem, you know. Before I understand what is sati, what is awareness nature, I also struggle with all these problems. I like to give her faith that she's not alone and she can come out of it. You know, she can come out of it by following, by properly following your instruction how to do it, you know, and cultivate accordingly.
Understanding to cultivate accordingly, then the understanding will actually clear out all the misconception, doubt, and all those things. It will become completely rooted up. Then you will start to understand. Unless you use the silent mind to meditate to develop the understanding, living being cannot have the understanding. Because this teaching or this Dhamma arise through the silent mind. Without the silent mind, you cannot understand. You cannot awaken. So you keep on using the thought to reason and to analyze. It becomes Dhamma knowledge. It cannot awaken the individual. So what you try to share is also very good. But for Lorna is okay because she actually has been searching. That's why she say everywhere she go, she can't even really got what sati is and what mindfulness is until he heard my sharing. Before she hear my sharing, it was very confusing. Even yourself, you know, Pocheng, you have attended many other sessions and classes of other people. You can't find this type of sharing, this type of teaching, this type of understanding.
Yes. It's correct.
Completely like not available within the Buddhist fraternity.
Correct.
So this is
So I want to like give them faith. Actually, there are many Kayamitas that had the same problem as I.
In the past.
By hearing their sharing, actually I learned a lot. I learned a lot. So I actually want to thank all of them, you know, that from their sharing I learned so much, you know. And because from each of the sharing, Brother Teo, you actually straighten our views, you know, and correct our problem, is it? That is where we can come out of the trap, you know, the trap of using our thoughts to meditate, you know. So that is very crucial, I find, very crucial
very
for the
crucial,
change, the change of the transformation in myself. Yeah. Therefore, I find that these people should be not lose faith, have courage to come out of it, you know. You just need to open the door and you are out of it, you know.
You must share. That's why I say we all must have the courage to ask questions, to report their meditation, and develop the ability to share. That's the reason why I have allowed more time for sharing. Do you realize last night after 10 p.m. only I allow half an hour? But nowadays, I try to allow more time. Now, 9:43, 9:42, sometimes 9:40, I stop. Then we have more time for sharing. So this sharing has become very different now. We have more and more people start to develop the understanding. And the sharing has become very much deeper than the normal cultivator. So this is a good sign.
I shall nominate the person that had done many sharing in the past that I often listen. I guess Brother Teo also know who this person is. Sister Tammy.
Tammy, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Pocheng, for nominating me. I was guessing. Oh my God, is it me?
So it turns out you are the lucky one.
But actually lately I don't have, how to say, lately I quite char lately.
Don't worry. That is what your thought tell you, not your true nature. Your true nature is very beautiful. Understand? you have that pure intrinsic tranquil and stillness nature, realize that, then all this I am very tired is what your thought tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That one is not your true nature. That one is your form and mind at this moment before you develop the understanding. So don't worry, tell me. Speak from your mind.
Lately is like when I meditate on the, I found that I don't know if it is because I get to know like a lot of things that I don't like, and then my heart area felt quite pain. You know, it's like sometimes it becomes like chi, and then you just burp out, you know, or you just
sometimes.
It was still there until, you know, sometimes
then
you can feel the hardness at the chest area.
Yes. Okay, I will explain to you. Yeah? Then you will learn. That's why when you meditate, I always say don't try to know. When you try to know, your thought has come in. Then when you say, you observe, you have a lot of what they call defilements. Yeah? Like negativity of mind state and all those things. That's why you say I'm very charged. Actually, all these are your mundane mind, your thought process. So when you are aware, you don't judge, you don't react, you don't stir, you don't become bosong. Understand? That's how all these things build up, because you think that is you. I already said, when you meditate, you silence your mind and feel that emotion. Like you say, it try to make you burp or you feel uncomfortable at the heart area, because that emotion is a result of your wrong thought, your unhappy thought. Where you think you have not progressed, you think you are very child, you think that negativity of mind state means your fear, your insecurity, your cunningness, your deceitfulness, your this, what they call thinking mind, is a problem, because you cannot be peaceful. You cannot be like in the described meditative state shared by other kayamita or cultivator. So all this condition you to be unhappy and stir your mind. This is not meditation. This is allowing the thought to stir and make you more miserable and confused. So awareness-based meditation means to be aware of all this. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just aware. And when I'm aware, I ask myself, how come I'm in this state? How come there is this emotion? These are habitual tendencies that you have developed through heedless living. That's why you didn't really develop the right understanding to cultivate. My instruction to you all is very simple. Relax body and mind. Did you do that? If you relax, that chest area will start to like loosen up. That is like free. That suddenly is the whole thing like become clear. No more agitation, no more tense, no more like disturbing you or those things. Yeah, you didn't think. You just relax and maintain awareness. That exists. Then you realize all this anger, unhappiness, fear, emotion, they are not you. They are dependent originating because of your wrong thought. Where you hold on to your thought that condition the wrong thought that make you emotional, unhappy. So when you realize that, you know that this is dependent originating, not intrinsic within your true mind and your true nature. So you continue to relax and maintain awareness, then you become very peaceful, very calm, tranquil and still. Then you will realize your true mind. That is meditation. That's why you ask, because your mind is active. Like you always report last time, like there's another mind looking at that mind, that mind looking at another mind. All these are still the same mind, mundane mind. That's why forget about the mundane mind. Don't try to know. Don't try to analyze or reason. don't even try to do anything about it, because that one is based on wrong view, wrong understanding. The understanding is all these are wrong thoughts that condition the emotion. So if I just listen to instruction, means I relax body and mind and silent, then I find out what happened. Then all this emotion, wrong thought, cease. But when I don't think, it cannot proliferate. It cannot continue to stir. It cannot make me miserable anymore. That the thought, which is egoic, is no more there. That's why your mundane mind will cease, slow down and cease. Then all this will loosen and become more and more peaceful, tranquil. Then it will return to its original state. You read the unique code, it's explained. Then you can realize your true mind before the stirring, before the emotion. So you ask yourself, before I meditate, I was peaceful. How come when I start to be aware of all this defilement, I become unhappy, the lack of peace? And that is not awareness, basically. That is trying to involve yourself with all those thinking. That is the wrong thought. That is thought-based meditation. That's a thought-based meditation. They cannot come out. They keep on getting entangled. They think anger is them. They think all the emotion is them. They think they're very char. Just like what has trapped you for so long. So Tammy, hopefully, listen to this many times and you will come out of it. Very easy. Relax. Aware.
It's like something I didn't get from what you say, you know. It's I don't know what is the missing link. People like understand that. Then I suddenly feel that I miss out something that I don't understand.
That's what Po Cheng is trying to tell you. She learned a lot of what you share because she was like you in the past. Then she follow exactly what I say. Silent, relaxed, and aware, then she understand all this. Then you never do it. You keep on using your thought, your old way, reasoning, habitual tendency, trying to analyze what went wrong. How come you are like that? That's why you always say, I very cha. Who is cha? The thought is shy. That's why that one egoic, that one is cha, not you. Your true nature is beautiful. When you have the Dhamma, you can manifest beautiful understanding. But you believe the thought. That's why you believe you are very child. You have not progressed. Because you hold on to the mundane mind. You didn't realize the true mind, the silent mind. So now, follow the instruction. Relax. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. And silent. Don't try to know. That is the four support, the meditation. Do that. Then you become very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil. You will realize those mind state that the Kayamita who has progressed described to you. So this is how the meditation is to be understood and done. So by now, I think you should slowly, slowly have a grasp. Or what is the missing link like you mentioned just now? Huh, Tammy?
I got something, but it's like, how to say, it's like every time I understand a bit, like you say, like heartbeat, feel the heartbeat, or feel the body sensation, then after that, I become busy already. Then
your thought come in again, but you never follow the instruction. The real instruction is relax. Did you relax? Relax. Silent, body and mind. Don't try to know. Aware. Until the mind return to the original state before the stirring. Until you can realize your true mind, your silent mind, your true nature, without thought, is already peaceful. It's already tranquil, still. That is your true mind. Go and read the Appendix 6 of Heart Sutta. It's all mentioned there. The silent mind, the meditative mind, is so different from the heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind. So all this understand them, then do with understanding. That's why you don't do with understanding, you go back the old way, which is thought based. That's the reason why a lot of Kayamita who are not able to grasp the important pointer cannot progress. So like Pojeng say, don't worry, you are not alone. Many people are like you, except some are more serious, more attentive, more determined, their faith are more strong, and they listen attentively. Then they got the understanding, then they write down, then they make sure they change and follow exactly what was shared. That's how Po Cheng progress and a lot of other Kayamita progress. But they listen attentively, they chase after the sharing, the talk. Then they rejoice so many times, like that day there was one Kayamita that shared. The heart keep on rejoicing because there were a lot of very beautiful Dhamma that has been shared. And a lot of people now understand, like Lorita just now, she also said, everything was so clearly pointed out, so beautifully explained. This type of understanding you cannot find. You have to listen attentively without thought. Don't try to know, just attentively listen. Then the real understanding will enter your nature. It's not knowledge anymore. It's not using your memory and your thought process anymore. It's directly, attentively listening from your heart, the art of listening. That means you listen with clarity to develop understanding. You don't allow your memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your old Dhamma understanding to come and interfere. If you use that to interfere and question, then you cannot learn because you hold on to your old memory or understanding. You don't have a clear mind that is sincere with an open mind to learn, to listen attentively and investigate. So a lot of people get stuck because they are so conditioned by the old teaching or the old understanding that they have, which is thought-based. That's why they find it very difficult to change. It's like your office, same. The culture of the office is so deeply ingrained. So if the office want to change and introduce a new culture, there's a lot of resistance, you realize, from the staff, because they are so comfortable with the old culture, the old way. No need to think, everything is the same old way, easy. So when you introduce something new, if they don't have the understanding, they resist. So meditation is the same. You have to ask yourself, if the old way doesn't change me, doesn't help me, doesn't make me progress, what must I do? I must change. I must move on. I must listen attentively and improve myself. Otherwise, I will be stuck. Do you see that point? Okay, Tammy? Hopefully, that will help you. Listen to this sharing today and you will change. Then remember when you do the meditation, the four support, very important. The first three, relax, aware, maintain awareness. These three, you know. Just do. Don't try to know. Then the awareness nature will come. Initially, Po Cheng took half an hour to get into that state. That's why you have to be very patient. Silent, aware. Let the mind settle down. Sometimes it takes a while because you don't have the understanding. So patiently wait. Then it will happen. When it happens, you will know. Like a shift in consciousness. Suddenly your mind becomes more quiet. Then later on, very quiet. That is the correct one. That is the realization of the true mind, the silent mind. Then you realize, all of a sudden, you will be very surprised. Then the thought come back. Because the thought is very near. Then when the thought come back, you don't know, you will go back to the old habitual way of thinking again. Then get caught again. Then you cannot meditate again. Because that is the old way, which is thought-based. It will stir your mind again, create thinking again, make you more confused. So Today's sharing is very good. Huh? Your question leads to very good condition for me to explain again. So with this, a lot of people who have yet to progress will have more faith. Then when they try, they will get it. Like Qin Hao. Qin Hao was like you early on. But few months back, he progressed. And he able to really have the silent mind to feel the heartbeat and all those things. Because you can't even develop the ability to be mindful. That's why you cannot feel the heartbeat. That's why you do. After that, you go back to your old way. Because to do the lying down meditation, to feel the heartbeat without the stethoscope or anything to assist you, it's not easy. That's why I say, don't do. Develop the training to be aware first, to be mindful. Do the bowing, do the four posture, do the mind sweeping method. Then develop some form of sati, stabilize it until your mind become very quiet, very peaceful. And then only silent, lie down and try to be aware. If you are not sensitive, you cannot be aware of your heartbeat. You cannot be aware of any vibration within your body. But when your mindfulness is developed, wherever you locate your mind, it becomes very sensitive. You can detect them all. Okay?
PG, yes. PG, yes.
Sadhu. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes.
Still in Paul Kalintas.
Sadhu.
Okay, listening to Tammy. I think in a way I can relate to her.
Sadhu.
She says about defilements and all this.
Yeah.
I feel that as long as we are in the working world, when you are bombarded with so many things that you have to take care of, unfortunately, a lot of things come up, especially when we are in the working world.
Yes.
First thing, judgment will always come up, right?
Yes.
You meet people, you interact with them and the world.
Yeah.
It's the mind will have a life of its own.
Yes.
It will come up with a lot of things. We can be mindful, but old tendencies will tend to come out.
And
will
your tendency,
you're that fella. You know, this type of thing will automatically come out.
Yes.
Unless we hold very strongly to our precepts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Initially,
it's easy for me to talk about virtue. I am considered retired.
Yeah.
So automatically the mind goes on a slow mode.
Yeah.
It's easier to see the difference.
Yeah.
I know how it feels in the working world.
Yeah.
I was like a mad person. Okay, right?
Yeah.
I can understand
very true. But with the Dhamma,
what I can say to Tammy is take your time.
Yeah.
Don't doubt yourself and don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
All of us have defilements. Plenty of
them. The one is the mundane mind. Before you have the true understanding, the habitual tendency will still stir, will make you the way you are.
Take the advice of Brother Chio.
Yeah.
Just continue with what she has been practicing.
Yeah.
And I think she will find that it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
Just have to develop
the clear understanding. Sadhu, PJ.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's all I would like to say.
Thank you, PJ. Yeah. So just to add on to what PJ has shared, I think what he shared is very typical of a working career person. In the early years, as a civil engineer, going through my career, I also went through life. I also encounter a lot of things in my career life. But for me, because of the Dhamma, I was able to understand it so clearly, so deeply, that stability helped me to transform. That's why I had no problem with all these things. And when I approach a situation, the understanding prompt me, the yoniso manasikara, the stability of understanding allow me to act with understanding. I no longer react and stir. That's the beauty of the teaching. That's why whatever you all go through, don't worry. We are different, people are different. Your karmic conditioning from the past is different. Some of these are karmic obstruction. Some of these are what they call condition that manifests because of past habitual tendency, the way you have been doing things. And a lot of these are karmic obstruction, karmic conditioning from the past. So they will keep on surfacing, and different people have different amount of it, different intensity, different capacity. So when you confront all this, if you are a cultivator, a meditator, that's why you need to be aware. Aware means what? Don't try to judge. Don't try to comment. Don't try to know. Just aware. Then you will understand who are you? What are you? Before you have the right view, the right understanding, your mind will continue to stir and react. Then through the awareness, you ask yourself, how come I am still the same? I have not changed. Yet the Dhamma hasn't sunk in. You haven't silenced your mind to meditate, to realize that anger was not you. Fear was not you. All this emotion and the stirring of mind was not you. It arises because of wrong thought, born of wrong view. That's why you reacted and stir your mind. And the main reason is you cannot accept the reality of the moment. You cannot accept that people are just the way they are. The world is the world. Conditions are that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are means a selfish people will do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Deluded people do deluded things. Emotional people do emotional things. They are just the way they are. Selfish people do selfish things. So when I can accept them for what they are, I can accept the world for what they are, the condition is and situation, then I can be at peace. That's why learn to be aware of this. Then straighten your view. Why can't I follow the advice of the Buddha to accept the reality of the moment? That is the reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. Then condition is already said, things will go that way. No other way. That is nature's way. If you want things your way, you suffer. That's why acceptance is wisdom. Acceptance makes you peaceful, aware. Then from there, with that clarity, you are not emotional, you have not stirred your mind, you will not become unhappy, bitter. Then you can act. Act with what? Wisdom. Following Noble Eightfold Path. Then you ask yourself, what actually happened? What are your options? How can I move on? How can I resolve this amicably so that nobody gets hurt? How can I apply Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and all that. Then you will know how to apply the Dhamma. You will know what is proper and what is improper. So, need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Need to repent, repent. Need to break karmic obstruction, do it. Then, vow not to repeat all this. That's how you change. By following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. So, to avoid all evil, keep your precept. Like PJ said, precept has to be strong. Then, when you want to do good or cultivate wholesomeness, you follow Noble Eightfold Path. The four right efforts to cultivate right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And the right way to develop wisdom, right mindfulness, and samadhi. So all this will fall into place. They invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for your life situation to improve, to turn around. For you to overcome all of your worldly situation and problem, for goodness, for wholesomeness, to benefit you and your loved ones and others, or help people solve their problems. So all this is Dhamma. you can put them into practice and cultivation if you know how to use it and do it. So all this are very beautiful sharing. Huh? So once again, we thank PG, Tammy, Loretta, and Pocheng for today's good sharing and good condition. Huh? Let us rejoice, family will end. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so good night. Huh? So it is, we will end the whole Zoom session. Huh? So remember to go back and listen to all this sharing attentively. It will benefit you as a cultivator. So Tammy, huh? Get the pointer right and do the meditation correctly. Huh? And you should also thank PG, Pocheng and all these people for actually contributing to all the good condition for this sharing to be possible. Okay, we will end everything. Father.